All right, here we are back. One of the things I am most disgusted by, and I can speak for Erica as well, is the simple fact that the mainstream media complex, the mass mind control, mass mind programming machine, has literally all but, figuratively speaking, buried the vax injured. These people are getting no notice except on this program, and we always try to read a number of firsthand, they're anecdotal reports about people and how they're suffering, what they're dealing with, what their crises are, and how terrible many of them feel now. They're so drained and depleted that they're talking about suicide. And you've heard a number of reports like that. Where else have you, and if you've heard of other venues, tell us, where else have you heard first-person stories of people who are suffering miserably, so badly, that's proper, they are actually talking about killing themselves? Where else are their travails and horrors being presented to the world? Who else is giving those people a voice? And I'm not bragging about us at all. I'm just saying, who else is doing it? Nobody. These people are being broomed away, hidden, swept under the carpet, whatever. Nobody wants to hear about this. And this does indeed enforce our feeling that there are a lot more people out there who have been severely damaged by these shots and the virus than the average rank-and-file person will ever be told about. And I think a lot of these people are dying. I think we may well have lost 10% of America's population to the bioweapon virus and the bioweapon vaccines since this rollout occurred and began the whole thing. I think 10%, nobody would notice. Are you 10% missing, one out of 10? 10% missing over a period of 4 years? Would you notice that? I don't think so. I do not. We've talked about this before. Anyway, you there, young lady?
I am. Ready for another week.
Another week. I'm glad one of us is. God. But seriously, the failure, the intentional failure of the mainstream media to present this global, certainly white Western Christian world suffering tsunami that's going on now is beyond words disgraceful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the amount of suffering is really incomprehensible at this point. And there's no real compassion, public compassion for these people.
No.
Much less help.
No. It's kind of like, it isn't, but in nature, if someone in a herd is injured, sick, well, the herd kind of just moves on and they straggle behind and their nature will pick them off and remove them from the gene pool. They're sick. Whatever. That would be a normal thing. This is all being done by intent. These people are not given a voice at all. This doesn't exist.
And, you know, it's psychologically injuring, too, because they have been stigmatized.
It's terrible.
In some cases, their own family doesn't believe them. I mean, I read a
or
post
gets
today
or
where...
They just get tight. Yeah, the family says... Why don't you just get better? You're getting tired.
Now, there was
of this.
One today, a woman that is suffering, she believes it's some kind of anemia, iron deficiency, and she's practically bedridden due to the fatigue. Mm-hmm. And both her husband and her own mother are just tired of not having her
turning
functional
their back
and
on her.
Asked wow. her to come up with a date of when she'll be better. You know, how much longer is this going to be?
And they didn't finish the thought, though. If you're not better by that date, we're going to dump you off somewhere at a freeway underpass. What are they going to do?
This is,
no, it's bad.
You know, it really
giving
is revealing
giving an ultimatum
the
to someone
ugliest.
Like that? Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was an ultimatum.
Well, it didn't give her a lot of consideration.
What date are you going to get better? Geez.
It's not, you know, what can I do for you? How can I help? It's when are you going to be better?
No. We're also very carefully watching the unvaxxed and what illnesses they're coming down with as best as we can. Eric has found a number of stories of turbo cancer in the unvaxxed. You get the picture. It's called shedding. Shedding. All right, we have a video of the good humor man, that's what I call him, Dr. Philip McMillan. He does look like he could be selling ice cream to children from an ice cream truck.
He's a pleasant guy.
Yeah, wearing whites and had a little white hat on. The good humor man. All right, he's a nice fellow. He does speak very calmly about things that are horrific, so that's something. He is doing his weekly video podcast or whatever it is, and he has Dr. Shankara Chetty on with him, the South African doctor who really stood up so tall in the beginning and so firmly made it quite clear that the spike protein was the deadliest thing that humankind had ever created. And he was never more correct than that. He's never been the same since he made those pronouncements. It's as if he was talked to a little bit maybe and said, you better not go there anymore.
Oh, yeah, they gave him a hard time. They did.
He changed. So I understand that. But he was the first one who pronounced the situation correctly, that the spike in and of itself was the deadliest thing that humankind had ever created. So you can take that and run with it. Then he kind of just backed away from it. But whatever. He's still a very dedicated professional, and we respect and appreciate him. So it's McMillan, Chetty, and then an unknown. What's the third person?
Anonymous. This is someone who, I believe it's a doctor, that works in a cath lab, pulling clots out of people.
You have to tell our listeners what a cath, T-H, on the end of
catheterization.
C-A-T-H. Okay, a cath lab, catheterization lab. All right, thank you.
So he has been in this field now for 20 years, so he knows the business. And he's going to describe what he's been seeing. And he's the first that we know of to speak out, you know, on a fairly large platform to confirm that, you know, what's showing up in the deceased by way of the embalmers is also happening in living human beings as well. So
the story, go ahead. Go.
You know, there was some contention about whether or not these clots were forming after death, and Dr. McMillan readily admitted that he thought that this was a phenomenon that was happening with a cooling of the body, and people were quick to correct him and said, no, these are absolutely happening
yes.
in living human beings. So, and here we have someone that bravely has come forward to confirm that and describe what he's been seeing for, well, since late 2021, I guess.
Right.
And getting worse.
Well, this I don't know who thought this up. Somebody presented it and put it in the mix that these amyloid clots, these white rubber band looking things, only started really forming after someone dies. They were a product of a deceased cadaver. Remember, they floated that out there a couple months ago or something.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Ludicrous, yeah. And I just want to make sure everybody understands. If you hear that, no, just walk on. Walk on. Dr. Hirschman is still doing his embalming and finding lots of rubber bands. And these are not blood clots. We know that, and they're being formed in the living. And there was one video that I really should post that. I couldn't find it. I looked. And it had to do with finding a clot in the, which vein was it in the neck?
Was it the jugular vein?
I believe it was. Anyway, you see it actually being the vein opened up and this hideous clot being pulled out, which I don't understand how blood was actually able to pass back toward the heart through the jugular vein with that big of a clot in there, because it fills out the entire interior opening of the vein, side to side, top to bottom. So,
well, when you listen to this video, it's the entire thing is about an hour, a little under an hour long. They talk about this, and Dr. Chetty describes this as it's not a plug, but it's more like a cast. So the reason they're not being picked up necessarily on imaging is that it looks just more like a narrowing of a vessel rather than a blocked vessel.
So what are you saying, that it's filling the space from the outside toward the center?
Yes.
I.e. a cast. In other words, not a full blockage, but it's a narrowing of the diameter.
That's how it appears on imaging,
of the vessel.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay.
And so that may be why, when, in fact, that friend of mine who was vax-injured that is debating whether or not to have a MRI to determine whether she has a clot in the... They're turning up in the ileal vein in the leg. What's been happening is when the radiologist first looks at it, says, no, it's fine, there's no clot there. And then when this Dr. Vaughn, Jordan Vaughn, looks at it, he says, no, there is. So now there's some back and forth as to who's right, and they're bringing a third party to determine whether they should open this person up and try to remove a clot, if there is a clot. Mm-hmm. So it's very tricky on the images to discern whether or not there is a blockage there.
When they
but
do
you
successfully,
see,
go ahead.
The size of some of these clots, in some cases they're 2 feet.
Mm-hmm. Length, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think some are three.
If you're not squeamish and you want to look at these images, it's really mind blowing. How people could be walking around with this much junk in their vasculature.
Don't forget that it's not just one clot. Okay, they've got one horrible clot. You have to think about this as there may be half a dozen more growing in other areas of the body with no symptoms.
Mm.
We just don't know. We don't know. Do not know. All right, here's Dr. Philip McMillan and Dr. Shankara Chetty, and the anonymous whistleblower from the cath lab. We got a couple of different tracks we're going to play. We're going to start out right now.
What we've got here is an anonymous whistleblower. He's based somewhere in the U.S. We don't speak about where. He has over 20 years experience in cath labs, and he has started to see clots occurring since about 6 months, late 2021, that were abnormal looking, similar to what the embalmers were talking about. And if you remember when we had our discussion, Shankara, we had my question or my thought at the time is that this was not occurring ante-mortem. This was all post-mortem, which would change the pathology around it. But what he's saying is that in the cath lab, they are seeing extensive clots. And the one that I had here was a DVT, an extensive DVT. But are you saying that this did not occur before of this scale? Is it the size? Because we get DVTs all the time.
Yes. This has started in late 2021.
And these are quite exceptional. And just so anyone knows, this left lower extremity DVT and no TPA. That means they didn't give them any clot-busting agent to try and break it up. So they pulled this out whole from the leg. So these are quite enormous clots. I know I'm just dropping you in, Shankar, but any thoughts at the moment?
Philip, from the work done, I think with the Razia Pretorius here in South Africa, looking at the different types of proteases to try and break it up, they found that it's got a lot of fibrin in it, collagen in it. So it's not really a clot. It's not the traditional clot. The traditional anticoagulants don't break it up. So I think what we're dealing with is a sort of fibrinous, collagenous emboli that's forming in the vessel itself, and it's actually taking the shape of the vessel, something very unusual. So it's not actually a clot. It's a cast.
Yeah, that's a very good description. Here's another one here. Tell me, what is this one here?
That's
research, Recio.
Okay, that's about enough for there, because we can't see the pictures. What do you think?
Mm. Okay, yeah, sure.
We can go on if you want. Hold on. We'll play a little bit more here. Just want to get to where the pictures are. Here we go. All right. Here's a little bit more.
Didn't give them any clot-busting agent to try and break it up. So they pulled this out whole from the leg. So these are quite enormous clots. I know I'm just dropping you in, Shankar, but any thoughts at the moment?
Philip, from the work done, I think with the Rezia Pretorius here in South Africa, looking at the different types of proteases to try and break it up, they found that it's got a lot of fibrin in it, collagen in it. So it's not really a clot. It's not the traditional clot. The traditional anticoagulants don't break it up. So I think what we're dealing with is a sort of fibrinous, collagenous emboli that's forming in the vessel itself, and it's actually taking the shape of the vessel, something very unusual. So it's not actually a clot. It's a cast.
Yeah, that's a very good description. Here's another one here. Tell me, what is this one here?
That has clot bilateral legs up to the vena cava above the renals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about a foot and a half long.
Yeah, so this is the inferior vena cava going down. These are the veins going down into the legs. This is where the kidneys are, about the midpoint of the abdomen. So this is clot all the way down on both sides. And this is what it looked like when they took it out of the patient?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Wow. Again, Shankar, any thoughts?
Oh, Philip, it looks... when we looked at this with initially with Mr. Hirsch, I think it was.
Yeah.
I was considering whether this is something to do with the hydrogel that's used. Hydrogels have been used as tissue glues, that kind of thing, for a long time. And I think we need to look at the research around hydrogels and how they interact with other things, because this is not natural.
Now, we've heard and we've spoken about hydrogels many times. Unfortunately, they're being misidentified by some people in the field and cited as causing many things that they aren't necessarily causing. Hydrogel, what do we know about hydrogels by way of a simple
definition?
Well,
these are not technically hydrogels. These are cationic lipids complexed with polyethylene glycol.
Okay.
But they're toxic. You know, these cationic lipids are completely synthetic. They're carcinogenic, and
we really don't
know.
Yeah.
What's that?
There we go again. The lipids, the LNPs, may well be kicking off and triggering cancers.
Yes, you can induce cancer just with lipid nanoparticles. They are that toxic. They have a skull and crossbones on their product label.
Right.
There's a lot of talk now about whether or not these lipids are participating in the formation of these things. We don't have answers yet, but that's something that needs to be looked at. And then, you know, we might have a better idea whether or not if these types of clots are also forming in people who receive the adenoviral vector vaccines, the J&J and the AstraZeneca, and, you know, a lot of people got a mix of different kinds, so those people may be few and far between, although there are some people I know of that only took one J&J, and so it'd be interesting to see if those people are also developing this type of abnormal clot.
Are we going to, well, I don't, he, Chetty wants to call them castes. I think that's going to unfortunately confuse a lot of people. I think we should continue.
Well, it is
to
hard to describe
them,
because we've never seen them before.
Well, we've seen them for 3 years.
The thing is, they're not, what's that?
We've seen them for 3 years. So that's a pretty good run.
Well, I mean, they haven't been previously described in the medical literature. So, right. You know, well, they've yet to be, you know, characterized and defined.
Well, I think we should call them clots for now, but whatever. He wants to call them casts. Okay. We call them a blockage. But people,
the funny thing
clots.
Is they're not attached. For the most part, they're not attached to the vessel wall. So in that previous mm-hmm. video that you looked at, what, a couple days ago, the one that I sent
mm-hmm.
you,
no, they
many people
right
have
out.
Seen that by now.
Yeah.
They can readily pull this thing out. They don't have to tug too hard at it. They can pull it right out of a vein or an artery. And I think it was a vein in this case, yeah.
Jugular
vein. You know,
vein.
Without much trouble.
Yes, yes. All right, well, this video, and it will end up under our names and guests. We're going to put it up there as data for you. You'll be able to
I would
jump,
play
also.
The part at, what was it, 32?
I'm already, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay, what are we going to hear?
Well, he's describing the association with the vax.
Okay, all right, very good. Now, these are usually, as far as we know, so far, all vaxxed individuals. That's not to say shedding can't result in these kinds of clots, blockages. They may, and we're watching. All right, here we go.
Arterial and venous.
Well, yeah, I genuinely, I'm not quite sure what to say, Shankar. So Shankara, what he has been mentioning is that people are noticing this, but there is no safety with talking about it. So let's ask the elephant in the room question. Have you noticed or did you look at any question about vaccination status?
Yes. So I guess there's some that can say that this is caused by COVID itself. There's people that say that it can be in the unvaccinated and vaccinated. But I know the patients, they're my patients, and I have to access their chart. And when I do, I know how many vaccines they had, when they got the vaccine, what type of vaccine. And it seems like the more vaccines that they have, the bigger the problem is. We've had patients now that have up to 8 vaccines. 8. But we also...
Isn't that about a record at this point?
Oh, that's my God. I can't even imagine.
No, I don't. That doesn't compute.
Patients with 1.
So what percentage do you think of the cases like this? But you have to be careful now, because you are highlighting the worst cases. But even so, is there any kind of percentage you can imagine, vaccinated versus unvaccinated?
Well, I can only speak to my lab. And in my lab, it's 99% vaccinated.
And is this for all clots or just these big clots?
I'm speaking about the white fibrous clots.
Okay. So whenever you see a white fibrous clot that looks abnormal, the stretchy type, and then how often would you see that? One a week, one a month, and even that, well, what percentage of cases tend to have these white fibrous clots?
Oh, it's a big...
He's talking about patients that are alive. These are not deceased, vaxxed people, as far as I can understand.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, okay. And he so said he's saying, seeing it in people who have had 8
and 1
vaccines and 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we ran some images recently showing blood and showing a large number of small amyloid pieces in the blood, remember that?
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
little, and they were growing. In other words, they're going throughout the entire body, pieces of fertile, growing amyloids, white amyloid, exactly what we're talking about here. And that's very concerning, because wherever the blood goes, these things can end up setting up shop and growing anywhere the blood goes. That's the potential of it. Potential. All right.
Now, we seem to be only treating the white fibrous clots now, because I think what has happened is that the doctors are racing to treat with heparin, TPA, and as they do that now, because right when they hear blood clot of any sort, they will treat immediately. And when they treat them with the heparin and other blood thinning drugs, the normal clots dissolve immediately, I believe, and those patients don't have to come to us. The white fibrous clots is the majority, and we are now seeing about anywhere from three to 10 a week.
Wow. In the white, and in those patients, so what you are saying is that in the cohort of patients who have white fibrous clots, 99% are vaccinated?
Yes, sir.
Sure, but you have to start somewhere. I think it's partly the technology needs to be looked at, because clearly it's partly the technology causing the problem. We know about messenger RNA and how it transcribes into proteins and how they work. This is unusual. It doesn't. We can't find our way back to that. This is the body depositing something on itself. And so, got to understand how the technology used in the vaccines are actually triggering this issue. I think
clots.
All right.
So we
indeed plots. The technology in the vaccines, they're not vaccines, and the technology is the mRNA, the liquid nanoparticles, and the resultant spike proteins and other things we don't even necessarily have a firm grasp on. There's so many different ways that these injections are destroying life. You regulars who are with us all the time know that we've made an issue of trying to bring this point home for years, literally, that this thing is so diverse, it's not funny. And if that imagery of the blood sample with all those little white amyloid, we'll call them amyloid pieces, what would you call them? Saplings, if you're talking about trees? Anyway, they're all flowing around the blood everywhere in the body, everywhere the blood goes, the capillaries, the veins, the arteries, it doesn't matter. And these things can set up shop and begin to grow. And are we looking at something that is just a question of time? We're 3 years in now, right? Three years into the age of the vax, the bioweapon. So if it's a question of 3, 4, maybe 4 or 5 years, and everybody's going to end up with amyloid clots. I wouldn't be surprised, but secondly, I sure as hell hope I'm wrong in even thinking like that. But I'm afraid this thing is so satanically evil that they, the builders of it, would have built that into it. They fused a lot of different components in this death shot that will pop up in a day, an hour, a week, a year, 2 years, 3 years. It doesn't matter. They've got it covered. We've run through the 9 major areas of the body that are clearly targeted for absolute destruction and annihilation at different rates of speed. We get that. But that's not to say there's no hope. There's always hope. But it's a very difficult situation for all concerned. And I'm talking about the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. And they're not vaccinations at all. They're bioweapon injections.
Well, I think at the very least we're seeing, these amyloid sequences that are on the spike protein is this the manifestation of what they can do, you know, regardless of what they come into contact with? You know, they cause this these proteins to first misfold, so they're not functional, and then they start to aggregate and grow.
And those aggregations of misfolded proteins, don't forget about the prion factor. If they end up in the brain, and then they'll start to grow there and destroy cells there, and those cells that are destroyed or killed off or made useless are removed by the body, and there's a hole where the cell used to be, and the brain is not generating new cells to replace those. So you
have, just leaves a hole. The immune system doesn't even react to it. It just dies and leaves a hole.
You have spongiform encephalopathy then, and that's just like a sponge. So, all right, you want to hear any more of this? I think we got pretty good.
No, that's good. Like I said, if people are interested, it's about a little less than an hour long, and it's really some of these pictures, when you see the size of these clots, it's stunning.
Well, I'll have this URL for you of the video we were just playing. It'll be up in about a few hours. It'll be under our names in Guests, and you'll be able to see it there. Okay, we've got an issue to cover here now. Let's see how much time we have, 15 minutes or so. The issue of abandonment of those who have been injured by these biological weapon injections. The abandonment, trying to make them just disappear, don't bother us with your problems anymore, from the family level all the way through the media level. They're just not being given any recognition. They have no voice, no platform, et cetera. We call it despair. So we need to cover some of this and help present the position and the suffering that is being hidden from most of the world. And that's I don't think, an overstatement. All right?
Yep.
Number one, despair. Question. Are there a lot of people still suffering awful in this group? Which group should we identify this as?
It's one of the COVID injured groups.
All right.
Or not COVID, a lot of vaccine injured groups.
Okay. Are there a lot of people still suffering awfully in this group? I think the worst part is my husband doesn't believe I've been injured. Now, just imagine being married, living in a home, children, I don't know, and one spouse or the other has been severely injured and the other spouse doesn't believe it. That's a tough one.
And I see that a lot.
Wow. All right. An answer? I have not made any sustainable progress. Any progress I've made gets undone by a cold or COVID, the virus, or stress or life. I am in excruciating pain. I now have fibro, CSF, ME, PEM, small fiber neuropathy, fibro, brain inflammation and brain fog, tremors, body shakes, internal vibrations, pins and needles feeling, balance issues, tachycardia, digestive, cardiac, immune response, and so much more. All right, that was a shopping cart full of misery I just went through that this woman is living with 25 hours a day. I feel like I'm on fire. Long fasting has helped me, but the minute I stop, I regress. And honestly, I don't feel like fasting the rest of my life. Diet helps when I'm consistent, but again, the minute I loosen the leash, enjoy a birthday, cupcake, etc., things go downhill fast, and I cannot recuperate. I should be able to eat a cupcake a few times a year without major consequences, but I can't. Sometimes I just don't care to get better because it's fleeting. So let me enjoy my cupcake. That's how I feel. I also had to be packed in medical-grade ice packs for months because of neuropathy and the pain from that. That's gotten better. I'm no longer packed in ice, but I'm still in constant, severe pain. Just learning how to deal with it. I have signed my DNR forms. Do not resuscitate me if I lose consciousness and appear to be on the way out. I've signed my DNR forms, and I am ready to die. Now, how many times have you heard people suffering to this extreme being talked about on the mainstream media or even the alt media? These people are just persona non grata. Go away. Go away and die is the basic message. And if God help these poor people with a spouse who doesn't believe that they're actually injured, their spouse, and they just—they probably all kinds of recriminations going on there. I don't even want to think about it. That's horrible. That's not living. And this woman says, I am ready to die. And she was probably just fine before she got the injection.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening by the tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions, maybe billions. We don't know. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so the original poster says to her, I have everything you mentioned, but also have major head pressure, neuropathy all over, constantly dehydrated, swelling in my tongue and throat, and severe neck pain with awful loud tinnitus. God knows what else I have, heart issues for sure. And then the second person says back, yes, I also have horrible head pressure, neuroinflammation. Long fasting did help for that. I also have tinnitus. There are so many things, but I just didn't write them all out. I can't function. I'm housebound for the most part. If I do leave the house, it will take me at least 4 days of doing nothing to recuperate. I also have to be highly caffeinated.
Hold on. If she leaves the house, it'll take her 4 days of doing nothing to recuperate, to get back to a rather morbid semblance of life and living. These poor people, this is beyond belief what these shots have done to them.
It really is. I also have to be highly caffeinated to try to get off the couch where I live my life. I can't take care of my son, family, or myself. I'm so sorry you're in the same spot yourself. It's heartbreaking what we've all lost. Sometimes I have to give myself time off these sites because although I am tremendously happy for people that find lasting healing, that isn't me. I pray every day. My neuropathy was so severe, it felt like someone was taking a torch down every muscle, nerve, fibers, capillaries. It's excruciating. I have contemplated ending my life because I am in so much pain, but I have a young son I'm fighting for. I'm just so tired of fighting. A part of me thinks I should just stop it all, just accept where I am and enjoy my seconds of the day where I eat and don't think about the pain for a moment. I've spent so much time trying to get better. I don't have anything left in me. I also found out I have internal mold, yeast, candida, oxalate toxicity, and it will take me over 10 years to detox from all this if I'm consistent with diet and detox. And honestly, I can't imagine feeling worse. So a part of me wants to hit this on the head and just do it. But when I fail, if I get sick and have no energy to make my healthy meals, so I live off chicken soup, I get knocked back for months and just feel so defeated. I don't know if I have 10 years, so I'm torn because trying to attack all of those things and hope my other issues will get better. But the detox is brutal, and I cannot be in more pain. If so, I will be more likely to take matters into my own hands. I don't know what to do, so day by day. But I just cannot endure this. I'm so sorry you're in this boat, too. So many of us have not found lasting healing.
So many of us. There's a big community out there of people just like this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody cares. In the mainstream media, in the alt media, these people do not have a voice. They are not being talked about. That's why we read these every visit with you.
Yeah.
We want these people to know that they're not forgotten completely. They're certainly being pushed away. All right, here's a response to that from Mike O'Mara. I don't think
This is to Mike in response to something he said.
Oh, two. Okay. And Mike O'Mara we featured his material before, months ago. He's been brutally injured by this stuff. And
still fighting, still trying to be heard, still trying to obtain a diagnosis.
Yeah. All right, this is written to Mike O'Mara. Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right. Mike O'Mara, it's hard to accept for sure. If it weren't for my son, I don't think I'd be here. I'm getting worse. I hate to admit it, but I have to come to terms with this. I got better in the beginning, but my body couldn't obtain or hold on to it for long term. I don't think I have much positivity left. Sometimes I need false hope. It keeps me here for another hour, another day, a week, or longer. But I know what you mean. I just wish it was all over. And I know you feel the same. This is hell. I absolutely believe in hell because this is just a taste of it. Every time I think it can't get worse, it does. Thank you for understanding me. I used to work in a cancer center. This is 1,000 times worse than cancer. You either get better or you don't, and you stop breathing. Here, it's literal torture, and we are both relatively young. I was 36 when it happened. I can't imagine living with this for another 40 years. So day by day it all is. I just pray God has mercy on us all, takes those suffering, so we can truly heal in heaven and our pain will finally be gone. Love and prayers, Mike. You heard the remark earlier that the spouse of the woman apparently thinks she's faking it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And the other one where they gave the injured, I believe it was head of household, one or the other of them, gave the woman a date by which she had to be better.
Well, they were asking, you know, give us a date so we can plan.
That evidence is so much insensitivity. I just can't even contemplate it. It's crazy. All right, go ahead with the next one.
A new person says, I'm so sorry your husband doesn't believe you. I think this is the worst part, the abandonment of loved ones. It's just unbelievable how they've treated us. I believe it is detrimental to our healing. I've had to distance myself from those that have not cared about my injury. That's not doable when your spouse is one of those people. Know that we are here for you. And though this is an interesting one, someone else says, my holistic doctor that was about to start 6-week protocol, then stem cell therapy, just died suddenly. So now I'm lost.
Well, the obvious question is, was the holistic doctor injected or did he just pick it up from shedding?
Well, the answer's in the next one here. He says, oh, my God, was he an older gentleman? Nope, not at all.
Wow. All right, the next one, so very sorry. Unfortunately, you're not alone in that category. My husband and I have had arguments over and over of him accusing me of making up my injury. Why the F would I do that? Hang in there and try to focus on any source of strength in your life. And a response to that, yes, and new stuff keeps coming up. And a reply to that, he doesn't believe you? Oh, my God. I'm so very sorry, sweetheart. I have a husband who doesn't believe the jab has harmed anyone either, even though his own brother he's close to is injured and disabled for life. Again, I'm so very sorry. We are here if you need us. And finally, in this group, praying for all my friends who still continue to fight. I'm grateful that I'm feeling much better than I have in the past 2 years, but I can thank my naturopath for that. Healing is not linear. It's still a roller coaster. Even though I have more good days than bad ones, I still have to fight like hell on some of them. Yeah.
Okay, continuing. I had to call the ambulance today as I was gasping and had the shakes. All my labs were fine. And Mike says to that, of course they were, from the same medical professionals who tell us just about everything is normal. So true.
Yeah.
And someone else, it's like three steps forward, two steps back for me. Every exposure to COVID or an illness of any kind sets me back. My period sets me back. The wrong food sets me back. Next one, I'm still not well, actually worse than a year ago. Another one, still suffering. Next one, all sorts of new issues, mostly labs being crazy. A new deficiency every week. Makes no sense at all. I got COVID for the first time last week. Now I have even more issues.
See, these vax people are almost guaranteed to get COVID, maybe multiple times. This is happening.
Yeah.
And each time they get it, like this lady says, now I have even more issues. That's crazy. Go ahead.
Another person says, I'm still symptomatic after 3 years and unable to work. Another one says, I've gotten worse. I have memory loss from having that shite forced into me. It's been 2 years now.
Wow. All right, let me find out where we are here. 2 years now. Okay, all right, next.
Number eight.
Is this one. Yeah, gotcha. Yes, I'm getting more stuff, just like you. And after 2.5 years, that's got to be awful to have a husband who won't even believe you. It's bad enough my friends and family don't believe me, but at least my husband sees it and does believe it. Response to that, I'm not as messed up as I was. The fatigue has improved somewhat, and I don't have the fainting or the GI symptoms anymore. I can handle cold temperatures again. The pain, on the other hand, is constant. I am literally never not hurting for more than 5 minutes. Number nine.
Last one. My child's father had to get the vaccine or lose his career. He opted to get Pfizer. He has since had three hospital admissions. Each time, we were worried he wasn't coming out of the hospital. First admission, deadly blood clots. Second admission, deadly blood clots. Third admission, this, quote, new pneumonia that the WHO is investigating. None of his doctors have done the proper labs. None of his doctors have even whispered that it is a possibility from his Pfizer. He
wow.
submits to anything medical tells him, but wow. he knows his time is now limited. He has made sure his life insurance will take care of his three children. He's filed a living will. He's made sure his kids know his bank account info and have the passwords and legal documents they will need after he, quote, dies suddenly. He's made sure his house will be passed on to them, his truck, his worldly possessions. Our daughter is only 15, and it will absolutely devastate her when he, quote, dies suddenly. She lives with him. He is her life. He is her hero. He didn't know the adverse effects. His neurologist isn't informing him of the adverse effects. FDA had posted the adverse effects on October of 2020. Medical didn't start mass injections until December 2020. Yet no one on his medical team ever talks about any of it. He stays silent and obedient, because he knows medical controls everything with his care, and he fears they will prevent him from getting his blood thinners if he pisses them off. He quietly knows his time is now limited.
It's very difficult to read these, and I'm sure many of you feel the same way, and it's also difficult to understand, but it's quite true that many of these people who are injured going in to see the organized medical establishment know more about their problems and what caused them than the people they're going to see for help, treatment, and relief.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these doctors just don't go there. They don't want to know. Nurse practitioners, they don't want to know. They don't want trouble.
I mean, you know, we are getting, you know, the full, I guess, exposure of just how incompetent this medical system is.
It's terrible, beyond terrible. Here we have one more, shedding dogs and cats. Is this the one we did the other day?
No, I don't think we've done this.
Go ahead, do this one. Go ahead.
I'm a member of several holistic pet groups. Recently, I've noticed a bunch of posts regarding cats and dogs getting unexplained nosebleeds and sneezing out blood clots. Some are pretty severe. They're saying that all tests are coming back normal, and their vet is baffled. I can't help but wonder if it's an effect of being around their owners who partook.
See, here's another example of a vet being baffled after 3 years of
this.
Yeah,
the vets certainly, they're not making the connection. Many people don't know that these things shed.
They just don't want to go there because they're around people all day, and every time I go out to the store, which is not that often, or wherever, I see people acting like things are normal.
Yeah.
They're not.
Mm-hmm.
They are not normal. All right, well, again, we really hope that we've given a little tiny voice at least to this whole horror of vax-injured, bioweapon-injured, and dying people. It's a disgrace that this is being hidden, but what would you expect from the ghouls, bastards, and vampires who are pushing this stuff on humankind? Mm. Their agenda is clear. We know what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That was a very unpleasant,
sobering
to do,
look. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. All right. Talk soon.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back with another hour for all of you, so stay tuned.